Welcome to the first week of our brand new series for the season of Advent. We're calling it A Classic Christmas. You might remember a time when Christmas was simpler, more holy, you know, a time of innocence and childlike wonder. Well, in this series, we're looking at how to reclaim all that was magical about the season. And today I want to talk with you about Believe Again. I often think back to certain times in my childhood, formative moments when I was very young that had a big influence on me. For example, when I was four, we lived in an apartment while our new house was being built. And on Halloween, my mom took me trick-or-treating around the complex, and I was having a great time until one of our neighbors jumped out at me dressed in a red devil suit. It freaked me out, scared me to death. I screamed and then cried all the way home. I still remember that traumatic incident. But then, a year later, after we'd moved into our new house, and it was Halloween again, one of our neighbors took us around in his Jeep Cherokee. It was a full moon on Halloween night. He took the top off. He drove around the area and told us ghost stories about all of the haunted houses that supposedly existed in the neighborhood. And then the following year, my parents had a bonfire party on Halloween, and my older brother and I made a haunted house out of all the rooms in our home. We led the guests through the nightmare that we had created together. It was so much fun. And ever since, I have been trying to recreate those classic Halloweens of my childhood. And it's the same with Christmas. You know, I remember going to bed by candlelight on Christmas Eve. It was a Scandinavian tradition, still is, of course. And we also lit the Christmas tree with these real candles, kind of crazy, but we did it. And I'll never forget being so mesmerized by the light that came from the Christmas tree. And one of my earliest memories is falling asleep on Christmas Eve, trying to stay awake to hear Santa and his sleigh land on our roof. Unfortunately, I never did catch him in the act. But I think all of us have these early experiences in our childhood of wonder, excitement, anticipation, and pure joy. But somewhere along the line, as adults, the shine on life begins to wear off. We become more cynical, more disbelieving. We start to lose all that was wonderful in our childhood. But Christmas is a time to believe again. After God rescued the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, he led them across a vast desert to a place he called the Promised Land. The people had some battles to fight, some giants to defeat, and some enemies to overcome. But eventually there was peace in the land and things were good. But after King David died, there was a long, slow decline. The people forgot about God. They forgot about his commandments. They started worshiping other gods. The rich took advantage of the poor. Merchants cheated their customers. Kings and governors led the people astray. And it was just a really bad time. The priests weren't much better either. And eventually, the nation erupted in civil war. There was so much fighting, jealousy, and rivalry between the two sides that it weakened the entire nation and made them vulnerable to their enemies. At one point, King Nebuchadnezzar conquered them. It was a disaster. Everything was destroyed. And he forced many of the people to live in Babylon in exile. It was a terrible situation, but some of the people thought that it would get better, that God would let them go home soon, that it would only last a short time until the political landscape changed and God figured out a way to rescue his people. But nothing happened for a long time, a long, long time. And you know, I can imagine how the first generation of exiles thought, well, things are going to get better soon. You know, they knew that they had done wrong by God, and that's why they were there, and that's why those things had happened, but they still believed that God had not forgotten them. I imagine that the second generation, the next generation, also kept a stiff upper lip, hoping to go free and be able to go home. I'm sure they thought that it would happen definitely in their lifetime. But by the third generation, they must have begun to lose hope. Ah, it's never going to change. God's forgotten about us. This is just our lot in life. But what the people really needed to do in those moments of doubt is believe again. That's the message of the prophet Jeremiah in the first reading today. He told the people, "The days are coming. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and Judah." He was saying that he would restore the kingdom of David, and that one day, the kingdom of David would come back, and one day he would appoint a new monarch, a new king, a Messiah who would do what is right and just in the land. And this Messiah, this king, would be faithful to God. And in those days, Jeremiah said, things would be different. The nation would be safe again. People would dwell secure. And this passage from Jeremiah comes from a larger section called the Book of Consolation. And in that book, Jeremiah promised that the people would be able to go home. Their land would be fertile once again. Homes and cities would be rebuilt. Fortunes restored. The number of people would increase. And God would be like a father and a shepherd, a loving father and shepherd to the people. Things would improve. It would be like the old days before things got so off track. It would be a season, Jeremiah said, of blessings, like in earlier times when the people were young and they believed in God and they trusted him and they were faithful to him when he called them his special possession and his chosen people. And in that time, God would give them a new covenant to follow. He would forgive their sins and they would know the law in their hearts. It was almost like God was going to recreate the world they had once known and make them brand new again. They would be able to go back to the beginning when things were still good. See, Jeremiah was painting this picture of hope for the people in exile so that they would believe again. Maybe you need to believe in something again, something you've lost faith in. Like that cell phone not ringing again. Maybe you need to believe again in something like that. You know, you could be struggling with a lot of things. But Jesus, in the gospel, warned his disciples to stay alert and be attentive to the signs of hope all around them. He said, "Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life." This is what can happen to us. You know, childhood is a time to dream. Young children are naturally believing. They look past the clouds and the darkness to see the bright future ahead. Maybe you remember feeling like that as a child, you know, when life was just beautiful and good and you woke up every morning and every day was a new opportunity. It was a gift to grow and to learn. But as we age, many of us begin to lose that sense of childlike wonder and optimism. We start to see the bad in the world, you know, and only the bad, you know, the violence and the division, the loss of trust among people, the lack of peace and civility. And then things happen to us along the way, you know, like problems at work, in our families, with our health. And little by little, we start to lose our faith sometimes, like the people living in Babylon. Maybe not faith in God, but faith that he's really going to change things. He's going to make things better for us. We can start thinking like those people in Babylon, you know, that it's never going to get better. This is just my lot in life. And when that happens, some people numb their pain through drunkenness and carousing, like Jesus talked about in the gospel. Others just get so caught up in the anxieties of daily life, like Jesus talked about in the gospel, that they can't see better days ahead. But this time of year is a time to see things with new eyes, like little children, with a newfound wonder in our eyes and innocence in our hearts. This time of year is a time to believe again. In the gospel, Jesus told his disciples about the end times, when he would come back again. On that day, he said, the nations would be in dismay. People would die of fright. There would be great distress all around the world. It would be like an assault on everyone who lives on the face of the earth. It would catch people by surprise like a trap. And you know, that doesn't sound very good. I don't like hearing that. But actually, Jesus was delivering a message of faith and hope. He wanted his followers to know and to be assured that he would come back one day. He would return and make things right. And in the meantime, while they're waiting for that, he wanted them to have the perseverance, strength, and faith to be able to get through and face the inevitable hardships, anxieties, and uncertainties of life. Because for those who are prepared for that day, for those who are ready, for those who have not lost their faith, for those who continue to believe, his return will not be a day of tribulation. It will be a time of salvation. That's why he said in the gospel, when these signs begin to happen, stand erect, raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Maybe you're dealing with some anxieties, uncertainties, and hardships in life right now. Maybe you've got money problems. You're struggling in your finances. You're getting older, you're not sure it's going to last. You didn't think you'd live this long. Or if you're a younger person, maybe you lost your job. You lost your job and you're wondering how you're going to get by. How are you going to feed your family? How are you going to have a good Christmas? Or if you're still working, maybe things aren't going well at the workplace, you know? Coworkers stab you in the back. The boss is kind of a tyrant. You got a bad review. It wasn't fair, but you don't think you can find another job now. Or maybe you're like me and just so, you know, weighed down with everything you have to do, you know, all the hectic pace of life, the running here and there, the daily demands and deadlines on our time, and maybe it's just crushing your soul a little bit and kind of sapping the wonder right out of you. It could be that, you know, you got problems in your family. Kids are getting off course, things like that. Or maybe your marriage has grown cold and you don't know how you're ever going to recapture that magical feeling you had on your wedding day. Perhaps your health is jeopardized. You were going along fine and then the doctors dropped this bombshell and it seems like the beginning of the end. These are the times, my friends. These are the times when we have to stand up in faith. These are the times when we have to stand tall in faith. These are the times when we have to raise our heads in faith and believe again, because our redemption is at hand. I don't know if you've ever lost someone very significant to you. Probably you have, if you're a person of certain age. But I have this friend who lost her husband a few years ago. And when he went to be with the Lord, it was a terrible time for her. She loved him dearly. They'd been married for decades and decades, and she missed him terribly. She felt so lonely, and she went through this very long, long period of mourning. It lasted years and years. She got grief counseling. She joined one of our small groups. She came to see me several times, but nothing worked. She just had this heaviness on her heart that wouldn't go away. She felt helpless because she couldn't control the situation. She knew that she couldn't bring him back, but every time she thought about getting on with her life, overcoming her sadness, she just felt guilty. She lost faith that she would recover from this loss. She didn't believe she would ever feel normal again. But then, a few months ago, she texted me. My friend said she had finally turned a corner. She felt like her old self again. She was happy. She started thinking about the future for the first time, new opportunities, next steps she could take to become the person God wanted her to be in this new phase of her life. She said she had been blessed with a miracle because for the first time, love, joy, and as she put it, a glow had returned to her heart. She said it was the light of Christ offering her a new and better future. After years of struggling so hard, my friend believed again. Is there something you need to believe in again? Like getting that new job if you're unemployed, or getting right in your finances, or getting your kids or grandkids back on track where they need to be, or restoring your health, healing your marriage, starting that new business you've been dreaming about, or writing that new book you've been putting off for so long. Whatever it is, Christmas is a time for miracles. It's about believing for the impossible and having faith that God can really make it happen. This holiday season, it's time for all of us to reclaim our childlike spirit, to recapture the awe and wonder we once had as children. It's time to reach for what we only dare now to imagine. I invite you to join us every week for this message series in Advent and make it for you and your loved ones a classic Christmas.